Good morning. Malalalay, how are we all? Good?
Good.
Before we start this morning, I just want to show you a glimpse of our journey with the youth, your youth, my youth family, our youth, just a few photos of what we've been doing and what we've been studying. Jerry will help me with that. This is our team. Some of our team, just quickly going through the photo. We had a reflective space dinner that they get to reflect on what God has been doing in their life. We had a photo scavenger hunt, the greatest treasure. Where's the youth? The greatest treasure. Who is the greatest treasure? The youth? I want to hear it loud.
The youth.
Jesus! So that's just a glimpse of what we've been journeying on as a youth. It has been a blessing so far, and looking forward to what God has been doing in the lives of our youth. Thank you, Jerry. Today we get to continue our journey of Luke. I have the privilege of preaching, of continuing on, starting Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 22. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 22. I know that our youth and our kids are here in church. Just focus on the picture. That's our story for today, kids. John the Baptist prepares the way. Just want to read to you our passage for this morning. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Lysanias Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked roads and shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who want you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What shall we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what shall we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what shall we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done. Herod added this to them all. He locked up John. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Amen. Let us pray for the word of God. Lord, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your word. As we are about to hear the sermon and the message of John the Baptist to prepare our hearts to welcome our Messiah, we pray, Lord, that you speak to us. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you lead us this morning. Speak to us, and I pray for revival in our church this morning as we hear your word. Help us to respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just a recall from last week, Pastor Ross finished us off on chapter 2. The priority of the Father's business. The priority of the Father's business. Isn't it amazing that we are in the family business and that's God's business? So this morning, let's get down to business. And it's all about Jesus. And it's all about Jesus. I pray that God will speak to you as we hear his word, preparing our hearts this morning as the journey continue on in the Gospel of Luke. We're only in chapter 3, but God has already done so much in our hearts, transforming, speaking to us through this amazing gospel, through our amazing preachers, and through each other's word of encouragement. The beginning of chapter 3, we hear from John the Baptist prepares the way. Last week we hear that Jesus, 12 years old, in the temple. And this week, we hear from John the Baptist calling to prepare the way. Luke 1, verse 80, it says, "And the child grew and became strong." This is John the Baptist in spirit. "And he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Beginning of chapter 3, we hear the leaders of that time. Jesus entered into history. We hear six names of leaders in this time, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, the second Roman emperor after Caesar Augustus, when Pontius Pilate was covering up Judea. Herod the Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch, the fourth or something of Iduria, and Trachonitis and Lysanias Tetrarch of Abilene, high priest Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. If we remember Zechariah that doubted that that Elizabeth and him will have a child. But then he burst forth in praise, knowing that God can do the impossible. And as he prays, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. And that's the beginning of our chapter this morning. And the word of God came to John the Baptist in the wilderness, son of Zechariah in the wilderness. And John began his ministry. From the wilderness, God called him. Isn't it amazing that God used the lowly place to raise up someone, to raise up an Old Testament kind of prophet to come and preach the repentance of forgiveness. Let us focus this morning on preparing our hearts. God needs our heart this morning. Let's come together and do a heart check. Where is our heart lies right now? What is our heart response to God right now? I want to draw you to that. Our heart. Let us connect to God's heart this morning and how he loves us so much. When the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, he went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's message is preaching about repentance for the forgiveness of sin, a baptism of repentance. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 5, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. People can relate to this analogy because back in John's time, when a king prepared to make a trip to a place, there will be a preparation, an outward preparation, that the straight will make the path will make straight. The valley shall be filled, the mountain and hill made low. And I can relate to that as well. I grew up in the little kingdom of Tonga. And when the king announced to come to our little island, we are in preparation. We prepare and wait willingly to see the king. And us as a younger kids, I remember, we sit at the side of the road for hours just waiting for the king to travel through. So that's the life of the little kingdom. So people can relate to this analogy. But bringing it to a spiritual life, John is called to prepare our hearts. Calling the people coming out of the wilderness boldly and strong and filled with the Spirit, ready to preach the word of God. Ready to proclaim the good news and the message that God has for him. We heard that Aidan preach about being obedient and willing when God's called you. In John, we see that willingness of heart in John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah, coming out from the wilderness, ready to proclaim the good news of Jesus. The first, we need a heart of repentance. What is repentance? Our children and our youth, repentance is turning away, metanoia, turning away from our sin and turning towards God. Repentance, turning away from sin and turning towards God. We need a heart of repentance. We need a heart that we realize our sin and our need of a Savior, and we turn away from our sin and we're turning towards our God. I can think of the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. I always love reading that story when it comes, when it says, then he comes to his senses. In my father's house, the hired servant have food and leftover food, and here I am starving to death. When he finally comes to his senses, let me go back to my father's house. With a heart of repentance, and he thought to himself, I'll just ask my father to be a hired servant. But no, when the father saw him from far off, he ran to him because he couldn't wait for his son to come back home. A heart of repentance. The father ran to him with the ring to restore the relationship, with shoes that he's belonged to the family of God. And kill the calf and celebrate. Because in the Bible, when one soul repent, heaven celebrate. And we should be celebrate here on earth as well, as a church community, when one soul repent. That's how valuable you are in the family of God. That there's a celebration when you repent, turning away, leave it behind, turning towards a loving God. We need a heart of repentance. Our youth, our children, and all of us here. We have the blessing of when we know our sin, we can repent and turn towards our God. Our God's a God of forgiveness, is a God of mercy, is a God of love, is a God that is waiting that you can run towards him. He's waiting for you. Continue on with John's message in chapter 3. That is our heart of repentance. People draw to John A prophet that just come out of the wilderness. But that's how powerful the word of God. That's how God is always at work. He's always go ahead and prepare people's heart to come and listen to John's message. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers." What an introduction to a sermon. A bold guy that just came out and, "You brood of vipers." They only wanted to be saved from the wrath of God. But John warned them, you need a heart of repentance. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. When there is no heart of repentance, there is a judgment. But as believer, we have the blessing, we have the gift. When we come in repentance, there's assurance of eternal life. But with that heart of repentance, there needs to be good fruit. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's gentleness, self-control, goodness. That is the fruit of the Spirit they need to show from a heart of repentance. So we hear from people's response. They ask questions to John. When we listen, we need to believe and we need to respond. And now we hear people's response. What should we do then? The crowd asked. Maybe it was hard for them to listen to this, but John just gave them what they need to do, the truth, nothing but the truth. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Out of a heart of repentance, we see the crowds asking questions and John's respond. We can learn these three things as well. We need a generosity heart, a heart of generosity. A heart of honesty, a heart of contentment. Paul is saying in the book of Philippians chapter 4, I learned to be content. I learned the secret of being content. I learned how to live in plenty and I learned how to live hungry because I learned to be content in Christ. We learn to be content with what we have and use what we have. If we look at John's life, his life was counted. Because he used what God has for him, he fulfilled God's calling for his life, even though he had a short time in life. But he used it and his life was counted for the greater. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 7, I tell you among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. A heart of generosity, giving. A heart of giving. A heart of honesty. Be honest. Even though it's about work and money. But John is teaching the people a heart of honesty. We all know the tax collectors, how people hated them because they collect more for themselves. And a heart of contentment in Christ. In Christ. And out of the fruit of a heart of repentance, this good fruit will come out of the lives of a Christian. What is your heart toward God this morning? What is your heart respond to God? As Neville has speak to us during the communion, examine our heart. This morning, examine our heart. Where does our heart lie? And connect our heart to God and let God speak to us. Let God transform us. Because in the book of Proverbs, my son, give me your heart.
And let God do his work, because he who started a good work in you will complete it. He will finish it. What is your heart? Respond to God.
The people were waiting expectantly, and we're all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. They awaited for a Messiah after 400 years.
Wondering in their hearts.
John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." He humbled himself because he is a forerunner. There's someone greater. There's someone powerful. I'm just here to point you to that person. And that is Jesus.
Our hearts need to be spirit-filled. Be filled with the Spirit. As John said, "I baptize you with water." John baptism, the baptism of repentance, is a preparatory baptism for when Jesus come and baptize them with the Holy Spirit.
We need a church that our heart is filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "For you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses, not only in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the end of the earth." That's who we are. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are witnesses of God.
Let us be alert to kingdom's opportunity when we are filled with the Spirit.
And when we are Spirit-filled,
the fruit of the Spirit will show. And people
will say, "Before we speak, we are Christian.
Our action tells." That is Jesus. That is Jesus in that person. A Spirit-filled heart.
And I pray that this morning, that our church will feel the power of the Holy Spirit filling us. Let there be a burning fire in our heart and a desire
to be all in for Jesus.
We see in our passage this morning a heart that is willing to point others to Christ.
And John did that this morning.
"I'm not the Messiah. It's not about me." He did not want to take the spotlight. "I'm just here to point you to Christ and keep proclaiming the good news. But one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire."
There is a God's judgment.
But for us believers,
we are blessed to have Christ.
And this morning, and if you haven't had, make that decision of coming to know Christ,
the time is now.
Jesus is saying, "Come to me. I'm just here this morning as a messenger to point you to Christ, the one that died on a cross for you and I, the one that shed his blood for you and I. That's how valuable you are,
that Christ died for you and I."
Church, we need to have a heart that is willing to always point others to Christ. It's all about Jesus, and that is the heart of worship. It's all about Jesus. And we pray that for our young people as we finish our journey in the book of Philippians. I urge them on Friday night, we need to be followers of Christ. And I pray that God will raise up a generation that will be on fire for God.
It's all about Jesus. And keep proclaiming the good news.
And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. Even though it may not sound like a good news, repentance is a good news. God's judgment needs to be acknowledged, that there is a God's judgment. There's a heaven and a hell, youth.
In Jesus, we can get to heaven. keep proclaiming the good news of Christ. Wherever, whenever, be like Jesus, be proclaiming, be bold to share your faith, to share your story about Christ, and let it encourage others. We need to have a heart that is all in for Jesus. And I mean this from verse 19, but when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, when John told them their wickedness, their evilness, they locked him up in prison. That's a life of all in for Jesus. Even in, I'm going to be thrown into prison, but I'm just here to tell you the truth. That is a heart that is all in for Jesus. The theme for Easter camp this year, all in. Jesus was all in. The pain, the suffering, the cross. The question is, what's holding us back from being hot? All in for Jesus. Our time is now to be all in for Jesus. If you want to be my follower, take up your cross. Deny yourself, deny your way, and follow Jesus. All in for Jesus. Wherever God calls you, bloom wherever God planted you. Because God has a plan and a purpose for each of one of us. We are all followers of Christ. And as a community of believers, we need to rise up. This is our time to be all in for Jesus. That Hamilton knows Jesus. That New Zealand knows who Jesus is. And the climax of our story this morning is the baptism of Jesus. The introducing of the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. What a beautiful, loving voice. You are my son. Even though he know where his son is headed, the cross, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. What a beautiful voice. And I want to encourage you, we need to have a heart of prayer. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. Let us pray that heaven will open and the blessing will come down on the church and each family and each believer. We need to have a heart of prayer. As we approach the prayer and self-denial, we need to stand together as church praying for each other. Because there is power in prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer opened the door of heaven. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form. We see here the triune God, the Trinity God, the Father. A voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. The Son, Jesus, baptized a sinless God, a sinless person. His baptism identifies with us, a sinless human, his humanity. With you I am well pleased, form of a dove, the Holy Spirit, signify God's approval of his Son to die for you and to die for me. And the encouragement for that is enjoy being a child of God. Experience God's love and expect God's pleasure. When you walk in the Spirit, it pleases God. We need a heart that lives to please our God. We will continue on with the life of Jesus, the genealogy of Jesus next week. But what a journey. And as I prepare this, the conviction, the power of God's word, and I pray that for this morning, we need to have a heart that loves God's word. We need a church that have a heart that loves God's word, that loves prayer, that stand up in prayers, that kneeling in prayer, because prayer is powerful. Amen. In Christ, you can enjoy being a child of God. In Christ, experience God's love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whosoever believe in him shall not perish, the judgment that John is talking about, but will have eternal life. And that is a privilege, that is a blessing to be in our Father's house. I will go and prepare a place for you. What a beautiful thing to look forward to. That's the preparation. I will go and prepare a place. After that, I will come and get you. We live with a heart expecting the Messiah will come again and take his people. Expect God's pleasure. A heart of repentance. A heart of generosity. Honesty. Contentment. A spirit-filled heart. A heart of prayer. A heart that loves God's word. That is our message for this morning. And I pray, if you haven't made the decision of accepting Jesus into your heart, you can come to the front and talk to us, Neville, the team here, to give your heart to Jesus. Jesus was all in for you. He died as if you were the only sinner. And that is something that always brings me down to my knee, knowing how Christ loves us so much that John comes to prepare a way for the Messiah, that he comes to proclaim the good news, that he comes to point others to Christ. That is your calling. That is our priority, to keep proclaiming the good news of Christ. Come this morning if you need prayers. There's a team of prayers here that can pray for you. And if you want to give your heart to Jesus, we will celebrate together with you this morning as heaven celebrate. Because one soul repent, heaven celebrate. Go with the voice of God this morning. You are my beloved son, whom I love, and you I am well pleased. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you, Lord, this morning. We thank you for your word. We pray that you prepare our hearts to put your word into practice. Fill us with your spirit. Transform our mind and our heart. Help us to be bold and courageous to share your word with the world. We pray your blessing upon your church. Thank you for each person in this church. And I pray that you raise up a generation that will be on fire for you in proclaiming your good news, the gospel, that Jesus died for us. In you, Christ, our hope is found. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.